This is the home of the Goat Tracker. Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, making your drive home a lot more fun.
Now everybody, have you heard? If you're in the game.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan around the table. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us here in just a moment. Ray will have the call for you tonight on TSN 4. Maple Leafs take it on the Panthers. Nazem Kadri suspended 4 games, so his season is now done. Rich Kloon getting called up. Freddie the Goat, I believe, is still up.
He will score tonight.
Who, the Goat?
You think the Goat will?
No. I will say I find it truly an honor to do the broadcast for the Leaf games, whether it be on radio or television. But it's my last one tonight for this season, and I don't think there will be a tear running down my eye when I leave the building.
You're not going out swinging, blaze of glory?
Well, Jamie, I mean, you do the Sens games. It's like 7-4 every game. I watched more. We had to do more first intermissions with 0-0 or 1-0 for the opposition, and it's just like, I like to show the fans good stuff or whatever. You know, the guy's sitting on the couch drinking a beer. I want to show him something about his team. But I had to, like, I had to put goggles on and look deep inside to try to find something interesting.
Well, that's where you get topical. Just be like, let's talk about
but that's boring.
Kadri's shot. Let's talk about
But even that gets played out.
No, I know, but it's because there's nothing to talk
there's
about.
There's nothing. This has been the most boring Leaf season of all time. There's never been a more boring Leaf season that I've ever experienced.
No. Last year, there was hatred involved and all that, and it's made our job interesting somehow. But this year, good soldiers, good haircuts, well, clean shaven.
And it had to happen.
Hard, but you're
hard.
Right. Here's the thing. They're the most celebrated 30th place team or 29th
best
place
ever.
Team.
Well, I don't even know if they're being celebrated anymore because that happened 2 or 3 months ago. Right. Now it's just kind of like, all right, let's get to the draft lottery and let's get to the draft and let's get to July 1. I mean, it's been...
Well, it's the most positive 29th place team in the world.
That's fine and that's valid because this had to happen. After
yes.
last year in the tabloids, they had to drastically change the way they operate, but... In terms of being Joe Blow sitting on the couch, man, it's tough. And thankfully, the Jays are back in town. Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray on Overdrive is a presentation of Sierra. So join Formula 14. What's up, Ray?
I don't know.
Try being the guy in between the benches calling.
Yeah, we're gonna create a story today. Today's story is about there isn't one.
Well, Freddie the Goat, Rich Kloon. I mean, you've got a few storylines you can pull on.
Okay, yeah, but. Okay, sure.
Well, no, here's
okay, no, I'm following you. I'm following you.
Yeah, let's see where Noodles is going to drag this one.
I'm going to drag this for all the people who
it.
It's interesting because Rich Kloon kind of embodies what a hardworking kind of but a guy who fights and all of that.
Yep. Blue collar.
There's your segment on that. Go
but,
ahead.
But it's amazing, 6 months ago when they don't want players like that. Now he's being rewarded for being a good soldier off the ice, being a good mentor. So it's an interesting story, but isn't it contradicting?
No, I think what it is we don't want to bring Brown up anymore. We don't want to bring Hyman up anymore. And we want to lose, so let's bring up Kloon and the Goat. And
they dropped anchor after that loss or after that win in Florida. Oh, they came to a screeching halt.
And they started tossing people over.
And which, Connor Brown, 3 assists. Well, you better go. Connor Carrick, you've done a really nice job. Well, you got to go. Zach Hyman, you've been the best of the young guys. Well, you certainly have to go. and here comes, we're going to reward two guys in Campbell and Brennan, and that's okay. But we're going to reward them, and we're going to start Garrett Sparks back-to-back games. He's played dodgeball for a month. Like, this is everything that is wrong with the system. It's not the Leafs' fault. They're playing the system. But it's everything that's wrong with this system.
Well, it's everything to do with the draft pick, correct?
Of course. And you can't blame them. Of course they should do that. But the system is wrong. Wednesday night, Columbus is going to be here. Oh, I think you have to watch the game. Am I not mistaken?
Pretty much everyone, yeah.
Yeah, well, who the hell's going to watch that game? And who will? Noodles?
Well, I'll watch it.
Well, they have to lose that game because Columbus is within striking distance. If the Maple Leafs win,
every such thing as a must lose game.
It's a must lose.
Just think of how ridiculous that is. It's professional sports.
Yeah,
it's crazy that this is actually happening. If I were sitting in the league office, I'm almost certain I would notice that this is embarrassing for our league. That last year when Oliver Ekman-Larsson scored in overtime in Buffalo, the people cheered that the Sabres lost. Like, does that not... You're asking people to pay hundreds of dollars per game to go to a game, and, oh, by the way, the players are trying to win, but the organization's not. Like, that's crazy to me. Maybe I missed the whole bloody point of it, but I want to go to a game and think that my team is trying to win.
All right, well, then go to Edmonton.
Yeah, go to Edmonton.
Go to Edmonton, and they're really trying to win, yet they're the biggest joke in the National Hockey League. This is what is hysterical about Edmonton and Toronto. When you juxtapose what they're going through right now, where their mentality is at, Todd McClellan is screaming postgame.
By the way, you're not joking either. They're trying to win.
If you went to them right now and said, Edmonton, you can lose the final two games and guarantee yourself last place, or win the last two and move to 29, they'd say, we'll take the wins.
Right.
We'll take the two wins because that's more important right now, which I think would actually be short-sighted and stupid of them. But when you look at their reaction, when you look at Todd McClellan just going postal, postgame, apparently bag skated out in Edmonton today.
They should, though. That team
I hear
needs
you.
An ass-kicking.
They're trying to win.
Yeah.
And they're a joke.
I don't know, the Leafs
are trying to lose.
I love that comment by Noodles. That team needs an ass-kicking.
Well, they do.
With two
they
games need, left in the season,
exactly.
But they for 5 years. Yeah, they need
nothing's going to carry over.
The thing is, and I'll say this about that regime. You guys were saying it the same way last year when you watched the Toronto Maple Leafs limp into the finish line, and change needed to happen. Brendan Shanahan, Peter Chiarelli is doing the exact same thing that Brendan Shanahan did, and that sat back and watched and assessed his first year, and then the hammer's going to drop. And I believe that's what's going to happen in Edmonton. That core will not return.
Noodles, it's not even just the players, though.
You're right.
I think it's going to be deeper. Like it was. Remember, right at the end of the year, what did Shanahan fire? 18 scouts?
Yeah.
Like, it's going. The way that they've evaluated players is going to change. And the reason I think that Todd lost his mind is that these are not young players. These are guys that basically mail the game in.
Yeah.
At this, and they have been, and they're paying them $6 million,
mm-hmm.
and they mailed it in. And he's like, "Okay, I've had it. No more. Done. Finished." And I know Bob McKenzie was on out in Edmonton today, and he was saying, "You know, you still got to be careful. You can't just go clear cut the team, and then you find out, oh, wait a minute, Jeff Petrie's a pretty good player in Montreal, but he wasn't in Edmonton, or Justin Schultz is doing a good job in Pittsburgh, but not in Edmonton, but." The core of that team has to change. And I think it will. And I think they're kind of on the right path, finally, because of the coach that's there.
Yeah.
It's much the same as you looked at when Toronto hired Babcock, was there not like a little sense of, well, at least they got the right coach.
Yeah.
And there's going to be steps taken. That's what I feel about Todd McClellan.
I agree with you, Ray, but Babcock's teams haven't quit. The way McClellan's teams have quit. Like you just said it. Those guys, they quit against Calgary.
That's a personnel issue.
Well, okay, but listen. Babcock inherited a bunch of players that quit too last year.
Look at the difference, though, Brian. Look at the difference. You have players on five-year, $6 million contracts, or you have players that are either called up from the minors or hanging on to their NHL careers by their fingernails. What team is going to be more hungry when you play out the string? Because all three of us have played on teams that are miles out of the playoffs, and you can look around the room and go, that guy is Cliff Klavan. He is mailing this thing in like you read about.
Yeah.
And you're not going to find that in Toronto because of the personnel that they have. Look at this lineup tonight. I don't even know if they have enough players that would qualify as an exhibition game lineup. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now because you're right. You need, what, 8 or 10
10
NHL vets?
Right.
So Riley,
and some of them count as like first round picks count as well, but right. I don't even think they've got enough. But these guys are hungry because, man, they got a chance to impress somebody in Edmonton. And I'm not just singling out, but these are the three guys that always get is Hall, Nugent Hopkins, and Eberle. Man, they're making $6 million. They can't wait for this year to be over because they're like, again? This sucks. There's nobody in Toronto that is doing that because they're playing right to the finish line, because if they don't, there's not going to be a starting line.
True, but I feel like they established that at the start of the year here, and Bozak bought in. He's got 2 years left at $4 million. He's been here. He's done that. Bernier had 2 years on his deal. I mean, it is different than the younger kids with more term and more money. But I do feel like that's on the coach also to inspire them to make sure that they are prepared to play. And I haven't seen that consistently out there. As for Toronto with Kadri, he's done for the season now. I mean, he gets four games, and I think most people would say that that was the ballpark of what he was going to get. It was an egregious act. He cross-checked Glenn Denning right in the face. But he's played with a lot of bite. And he's been another guy, even though he is an RFA at the end of the year, you know, you can't claim that he's quit at any point this year.
No chance. I wouldn't subscribe to that.
No, he's definitely pushed it. But, again, he's kind of been a loose cannon at times. Do you think that is maybe a positive for him in terms of his reputation and in terms of maybe the way the Maple Leafs will feel about him?
No, I don't think it's a positive. I don't think it's really a negative. It looks to me like a guy that's just totally, he's had it. He's frustrated. He's played really hard. And he's also a guy that has a rather large ego, you know, as he's evaluating Jack Eichel's game. He's telling Mike Blunden that, you know, maybe you pop off in Syracuse like that. But he's, you know, he's just really a young guy himself. Like, when you're in 30th place or 29th place, I don't know that you should be telling the media that you told some guy that you can do that in Syracuse. Like, when I played in Atlanta, I didn't have a whole lot to say. I've got lots to say most of the time. What the hell am I going to say to somebody on the ice? You guys suck? Oh, yeah? Have you seen the standings? Like, I think Kadri's a really good player. I've really liked how he's played. I wouldn't have any complaints with him. If they can get him on a four-year deal, I would do that. Absolutely. You could do a hell of a lot worse than that. Now, if July 1st rolls around and they decide to roll the dice on Stamkos and they get the lottery pick and draft Austin Matthews, then maybe you're going in a different direction with Kadri.
Speaking of Stamkos, obviously the big news over the weekend is he's out for 1 to 3 months. I think we're all anticipating he's done for the year, right?
I think so, yeah.
It feels that way anyway. And with Anton Stroman done and not coming back anytime soon, I'm not sure how Tampa's even going to get out of the first round, let alone get to the Eastern Conference final or Stanley Cup final. But it's a blood clot in his shoulder. He had to have a rib removed. The same thing Vasilevsky, his teammate, went through earlier in the year. But doctors would say this means he's more prone to blood clots in the future. It's still a low percentage. It doesn't mean it's going to pop up all the time. But we've seen this in the NBA. Chris Bosh had a real problem with it, almost cost his life last year, and this year he had another scare with it. And that was my first reaction when I heard the news. It's such a kind of a random injury. Like, you, when you think of injuries in hockey, you think of a broken arm or whatever it is, hip problem. But how might this affect his free agent status?
Now, you know, we're all short of being doctors here, and I think if you lump us all together, we're not even a year towards it.
Not even close.
Yeah. So I'm almost certain, like 95% certain, the biggest challenge for a team thinking about Stamkos as a free agent would be that you can't insure his contract. So if you're rolling the dice on $90 million or $85 million, whatever it is, you can insure his contract, but there is no way it would include protection of this issue. I'm almost certain of it.
Yeah.
And so will that scare teams away? It would make me really nervous. And the reason I say about the doctor, I don't know what the percentage is that this is an ongoing issue. But, you know, Brian, as you pointed out, there are cases where it can be a reoccurring problem. I thought the same thing. Wow, what does this do? After I thought of, oh man, Tampa screwed, I thought, wow, that's a July 1st question now.
Big time.
I just need to find that one injury where the doctor has to pull me in a room and say, Jeff, you need lipo. And a lot of it.
Well, just think, if you had a blood clot, they could take a rib out, and while you're at it, say, hey, buy, you know.
A little trim off the side,
stomach
too.
While you're at it.
Keep going there, pal.
Just keep it coming, man. Whatever you can find in there that you can take out that will allow me to continue to live.
Gut me like a fish and see if I live.
When he pulls a beer can out of there, that's going to be amazing.
That's where you go, those cleanses. You go through a cleanse, and there's like a burger from 1987 comes flying out.
Just been like, sitting there. You took that thing down in one bite.
It's been lodged.
Wow, this guy must have been hungry when he ate this.
He was starving in the late 80s. I also think this could be a benefit to either side as well. I mean, Tampa's going to quickly figure out what life without Stamkos looks like.
Oh, yeah.
In the biggest moments.
And
I know
possible Jonathan Drouin sighting.
Well, and Drouin's banged up right now. The timing is not great for that, but likely he will come up, or you would think so. So, you know, if they survive without him, all of a sudden Yzerman could walk away saying, you know what, I feel better about saying this isn't going to work for us. On the flip side, you know, if they really fall apart and they really, really struggle, maybe his value within the organization actually goes up. Like maybe Stamkos could somehow benefit in a weird way from this if he wants to stay in Tampa and he wants to get paid.
I would assume Yzerman's got, you know, two scenarios drawn up, the with and without. The without would include Strowman. And so, you know, they're still not getting a full picture at it. It's such a tough thing to figure out, though, right? Like, what exactly are you losing when you take Stamkos away because you still got to sign all these other guys? Or if you keep him, which of these other guys are you throwing overboard? Because you can't sign them all. And I earlier had thought, you know, man, Ben Bishop's going to be the guy that they move. They have to do that because they've got Vasilevsky in. But Ben Bishop's been, without question, their most valuable player.
Yeah, he's been very good.
And so how do you move on from him? But if you can't keep everybody. Kucherov, however you want to say it, he's coming up as RFA. It's going to cost a lot of money. He's really good. You know, they're not that far away. I think they're July 1st, they can start working on Victor Hedman's deal. It was only $70 million on the cap. Like, I don't know how he's going to get it all done. I really don't.
And I think that's why the speculation has been so rampant, the fact that they didn't get it done last summer. I mean, there's been a lot of things that have added to it. I think the fact that he's from Toronto and the potential Leaf connection has clearly made it that much more interesting for people here in the city.
Well, let me pose this to you. Sorry to interrupt, but if that contract can't be,
I don't think it matters here.
No,
MLS, it's money to them. What do they care?
Of the one grouping that'll be interested, that this is probably the one where
I think it benefits the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, because it takes out other suitors, right?
Right.
Yeah, probably.
If Nashville can't insure it, if Detroit won't insure it, if like the Leafs can sit there and say, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
What do I
right.
care?
Yeah, you're right. That's
you know,
a
if
good
you never
point.
Play for us, whatever, it's cash. I mean, this actually, in a weird way, kind of a devious way, could end up benefiting
well,
the Maple Leafs in a way.
Montreal has cash, though, too.
They do.
Maybe they could.
There are other teams that have cash. But
the Maple Leafs have the most.
You mentioned Montreal. John Scott is he's coming up.
Well, we had that bet.
We did. And, like, is this a publicity stunt?
Or is it you're not playing hockey anymore? Here's a little farewell, like play in the, finish it off in the NHL and see you later.
Kind of the Rich Kloon treatment, only in Montreal.
Yeah, I this whole thing I don't quite get. Like right back to the trade, which made no sense other than hey, let's get him out of the league and oh wait a minute, the public doesn't like this. We better get him into the All-Star game anyway. So I don't know. It all kind of smells good. Good for him, and you know, and good for him to get one last game playing. But it, I don't know. To me, it all kind of seemed a little odd, and seems a little odd.
Well,
he should go out on the ice piggybacking Paul Byron.
Just make it as interesting as possible. Three ring.
Paul
circus.
Byron would look like Yoda on his back.
Do you know what it would look like? Remember when when Dr. Evil had Mini-Me?
Yes.
And he had him tied in front of him. That's what it's going to look like.
Well, isn't this the Habs' downfall in a nutshell? That John Scott is here to make things interesting because it's been so painful for so long at the Bell Center, and it feels to me it's almost like
they're bringing the circus animal.
Yeah, like it feels like a publicity stunt mashed together with a saving of the face. Like I think Bergevin knows, hey, we screwed you over, the league screwed you over, and this is us saying we know it, so we'll hook you up. Come on up. But it feels like a publicity stunt. It feels as if they're trying to tank, right? Like, let's lose every game if we can here. Why not? Let's jump on board with every other Canadian city.
Right.
Edmonton notwithstanding. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. They're all in the bottom 10. And if you can drop another spot and John Scott can help you do it and also maybe get some people talking, go for it.
I hope he scores.
Well, what would be his Rudy moment?
Scoring.
Yeah, I think it has to be a goal. I don't think it has anything to do with a fight or anything like that. I think it's a regular shift, and he contributes to a nice goal by Pacioretty or something, or vice versa. They put him in front on the power play, and he redirects one top shelf.
All right, I got one.
What do you got?
I got the reverse Rudy. Carey Price finally plays.
He runs over his own goal.
And John Scott blows a wheel and takes him out.
Like, just back checks his ass off and wipes out.
Yeah, but we all thought that he was going to fall on his face at the All-Star game, and he stole the show. That's the thing. Like, you've said this, Brian. Like, we all think, you know, in people's minds driving around, they think that they're better hockey players than John Scott. He proved at the All-Star game that he's not an All-Star, but he can still play. He can still play hockey. That's the thing. Like,
not at the NHL level, though.
Well,
like, I was at the Marlies St. John's game last week. I watched him tooting around the ice down at the Rico Center. The guy, he can't play.
He
can't
play up or down to
he
your
can't
competition.
Play.
If you want him to be a policeman for your AHL team, he can do that. But as far as, no.
No.
He'll get you a goal in the All-Star game and win the MVP, but he can't play.
This is a very different story. We're not Nashville anymore.
No, you're right.
Anyway. All right, Ray. Well, good luck tonight, buddy. We'll be thinking about you.
Last week's game of the year.
Is it your last one?
Oh, yeah.
Me too, okay. Buddy. Boo-hoo.
Be exciting.
And then two in Ottawa and sayonara.
Then you are done.
We get to keep calling you, though, don't we?
Well, for 2 weeks till I go to Russia. Apparently there's no phones in Russia.
Oh, are you going there for the Worlds?
Yes. I tried to get it in my backyard, but they said, no, you got to go to Russia.
No, thank you. No one cares.
Tried to get it right off the first tee, and they said, no, you can't do that.
Sorry, we can't play it outside your golf course. It's not going to work.
Yeah, so a couple more weeks anyway. So right, you know, I got to mark down, and you know, it's really the highlight of my day, you know.
We know it, and you know it's reciprocated. We love you, buddy.
Yeah, right.
We'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
There he is,
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive. Presentation of Sierra Sojourn Formula 14.
I was thinking about my beloved Leafs yesterday, listening to sports.
Yeah?
Just how bad the Cubs have been forever. And you watch any kind of baseball, and they're like overwhelming Cubs World Series favorites. Started off, Joe Maddon was brought in. It's like, okay, maybe sooner or later they bring in, like, they had to overpay for Babcock. Maybe, just maybe, down the line we're going to say, man, the Maple Leafs are the real deal.
You know what? It's a very good comparison because Maddon would be baseball's version of Babcock, and they brought in Theo Epstein as well, who, I don't know, Lou wouldn't be considered that, but maybe Shanahan could be considered kind of a conventional.
Dubis?
Yeah, you bring, exactly, kind of a younger guy.
I just thought about it. It's like so bad for so long.
Yeah.
Such a storied franchise, and they said, you know what? We got to stop screwing around. Not that Dusty Baker or any of those guys, Ryan Sandberg or any of those guys are bad people or managers, but they said we got to get the best of the best.
And they've done that, and now they are an overwhelming favorite.
Overwhelming.
Like, I can't recall the last time we went into a season where there was a favorite that was so prohibitive, like so obvious in terms of the pick. Like,
they're
every
the favorite?
Oh, dude, they're loaded with talent. Like, they were a playoff team last year. They won 97, 98 games last year.
I got the Blue Jays.
Yeah, listen, the Jays, I could see Jays Cubs.
But, Jamie, like, overwhelming. It's just, if you talk to 10 baseball people, I think 7 would pick the Cubs, and maybe 3 would Then it's the between the Blue Jays and Kansas City. Or
yeah, Kansas City still gets a lot of love. The Giants are going to get theirs. The Cardinals will get theirs. You know, but yeah, the Cubbies, and you're right. They went out there. They spent the money on Madden. They loaded up on young talent, loaded up on kids. And now the kids are up, and they're all making an impact. And then they spent money where they had to spend money,
plug
where
holes.
They were ready to pounce.
Yeah,
exactly. Plug holes. And baseball's different because it's an unlimited payroll, and
I
you
know,
can really
just
plug
thought
holes.
About where both organizations were at, and I'm like, maybe just one day soon.
I think you have to hope for that. And Cubs fans, like, their mentality is so warped. It's just like Maple Leaf fans. They hate the fact that they're favored. Like
they want to be the underdog.
You want to be
they're
an underdog. You don't want to be talked about because just when
Bartman,
the pressure is on them, they'll win 68 games.
The guy in the green turtleneck will show up and destroy your life.
Exactly. Bartman will make his return.
It wasn't even his fault.
He played a role anyway.
He played a role, but there was other
he's
people
just the
involved.
He's just such a hateable person.
With the
hat, the earphones, the green turtleneck, the black sweater. He's just the most hateable person what you'll is, ever meet in your life.
We got to figure out the anniversary of that day.
Oh, it's in the fall, obviously.
And we'll all dress up like him that day.
All right, next October, we'll dress like Bartman. Jay's back in action tonight. We'll look back in the game last night. Marcus Stroman, how big of a superstar could this guy be? Update on Josh Donaldson's hair game going into game two. It's a little bit dicey. He had the man bun yesterday.
I was actually disappointed. You win the MVP, you don't change your hair at all.
He had man bun yesterday. He's going a different route tonight. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. The finale of the Bar Play bracket is officially underway. Dougie Gilmore, back in 93, going up against Leonardo DiCaprio right after Titanic was released. We have a barn burner on our hands.
Well, I think Dougie's going to take that home, no?
I wouldn't be so sure about that. Leo has just been smoking, guys.
I felt Jeter would have had more. And I know Leo had, like, the world to choose from, but Jeter in New York City?
That was my pick. I voted Jeter right after the World Series, cruising around downtown New York.
Ticker tape parade, 2 million people there.
You're preaching to the choir here, buddy. I'm just letting the people speak, man. This is a democracy here.
I know.
When it comes to the Bar Play bracket, up on Twitter, at HayesTSN. I've got a Josh Donaldson update here.
Yes.
So yesterday he had the man bun going. Today, apparently, he is going to have braided hair for the game tonight.
One question.
Can your hat go over it?
Well, no. Like, I braid my kid's hair, and it's terrible. Who braided his hair?
Well, it looks like it was...
There's a guy here in this pic. He's got, I believe, an Affliction shirt on.
Is that Joe from the Bridge?
He looks gritty. He's got some Bartolo going.
Yeah, he does have an Affliction shirt on.
Is that the double Princess Leia man braid, too?
I think it is, yeah. He's braided on both sides. So Donaldson bringing the heat tonight. He had a big hit yesterday.
Wouldn't that be uncomfortable?
I don't know.
Like, can put a hat on top of that, or does he wear his hat loose?
I guess, man. He's the MVP. He can do whatever he wants.
Really?
I got no problem with that. His hair is always changing.
What if he said, I'm not wearing a hat tonight?
Well, then you can't play. You can't just make up your own rules and say, I'm not going to wear a hat.
What about the dude last night that had the wrong hat on? He had the training camp hat on.
Starting pitcher for the Royals.
Starting pitcher, wheels out there with the wrong hat.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, dude. Let's bring in Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst. This Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Are you cool with braids on the MVP?
He's the MVP, bro.
Yeah.
He can do what he wants.
That's right. I'm with you on that, man. That's fine. He can do whatever he wants. When you consider what Marcus Stroman looked like yesterday, we were discussing him a lot in the previous hour. I think he's the most fascinating Blue Jay. Now, Donaldson's going to put his braids in the ring here on this conversation as well. But I think when you consider the superstars, we've seen their superstardom. We know what Donaldson's all about. We know what Jose's all about. Edwin's all about. Stroman plays with passion, emotion, and it's untapped. We don't know where he's going with his career. Would you concur with that statement that he's the most fascinating Jay, or would there be someone else that you would look to?
Well, I think as far as if, you know, fascinating is a broad term. I think that Marcus Stroman is the face of this franchise right now. Let's put it that way. If that qualifies for fascinating, so be it. But as much as everyone likes Josh Donaldson or Jose Bautista, there is one guy out there on that field that when he pitches, it's a must-tune-in moment, and that's Marcus Stroman. I mean, everyone loves watching this guy work. I went on record. I mean, put it in print. I said, this guy, Marcus Stroman, is more of an ace than Roy Halladay ever was. And the way I qualify that is not because Roy Halladay is not a phenomenal pitcher. He totally is. And his results are absolutely unquestionable. But what it comes down to is this. If there is a guy out there and he is my ace and he is the guy I'm supposed to rally behind, I want to know that I can actually rally behind him because he's positive, he's got a hell of a lot of enthusiasm, it's infectious, and I know that when I'm rallying behind him, I'm fighting the other team with him. When Halladay was out there, I mean, it's awesome, the bullpen gets a night off that night, but it was always Roy competing against Roy. Very quiet guy, very introverted, amazing athlete, but hard to get behind, right? You just kind of watch him go. But Marcus Stroman, man, you're out there with him every pitch, and he lets you know. And I think that's what every fan wants, right? Every fan wants to feel like they can relate to a guy in a big moment or a down moment and feel connected to that athlete. That's why this is sports entertainment, just not sports science. And I think Marcus Stroman allows you to have that real fascination, if that's what we're calling it. He allows you to have that because he breaks down that barrier and he brings you in. Young, great story, big game player, very emotional. That is entertaining.
I've said before, and I reiterated earlier, he's the human embodiment of the bat flip. He's the pitching version of a bat flip. He plays with emotion. He'll stare people down if he has to. He'll yell at himself. He'll probably yell at other players on the other team. I love it because he's on my team, quote-unquote, because I get to watch him and I want to see the Blue Jays do well. I could see it being an issue, though, for opposing batters and opposing teams. Could you see his general attitude and the emotion that he shows and the personality that he brings being an issue with opposing teams and potentially boiling over at some point?
Oh, sure. Sure. No, and, you know, that's the nature of competition. Let's not kid ourselves. It's not like, you know, guys started flipping bats as a way of showing other people up. They started doing it because it was an extension of their emotion. And when you have a lot of emotion in a very highly competitive environment, it's going to get misinterpreted. I mean, there's a lot on the line out there. Ego, careers, production, paychecks, all of it. It's all wrapped up into one pitch or one swing of the bat. And when it doesn't go your way, you are suddenly sensitive, ultra sensitive, like a, you know, fragile little porcelain teacup. I popped out, and you feel so vulnerable, and here's some other guy screaming at himself, and he's screaming at himself, but in my direction. I'm definitely going to misinterpret that. Is he talking to me? Is he talking crap to me? Are we going to fight right now? I'll fight you right now because I'm angry. You know, look, here's the ultimate equalizer, though. You know, you look at someone like David Ortiz. David Ortiz has been pimping home runs and flipping bats and taking his sweet time around the bases for years now, but no one brings it up anymore because he's always done it, and he's David freaking Ortiz, right? He's one of the best hitters in the game. You give him a wide berth. Marcus Stroman's young. He's energetic. He yells at himself, but I think people know that his heart's in the right place, and he ain't trying to start any beef, but he's still young. Relatively unproven. And until he has a couple seasons under his belt of domination, this is always going to catch the eye of some older player the wrong way, and we're going to have a little drama around it. But, you know, this is the kind of polarizing drama that makes fans for life.
With Dirk Ahurst, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst here on Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. We were all talking about the Mets-Royals game last night and how I thought it was beautiful TV that the Mets were out there watching the Royals celebrate beating them in the World Series last year, and they had to go through the video montage and the crowd, and the announcer said your World Series winner probably 45,000 times before first pitch. They kind of fluked into it because the schedule was created beforehand, but I loved it. I thought it was great. Did you feel it all for the Mets, though, last night, having to sit there and basically watch Kansas City gloat?
Hey, to the spoils, or to the victor goes the spoils, right? And gloating is part of that. And I feel bad for the Mets, but look, let's do a role reversal here, right? So last year, Kansas City Royals had massive chips on their shoulders, and they had to bear witness to somebody that was a close beat. They had to suck it up and deal with it. And then they did, what, five bench-clearing brawls in the first month? They had six bench-clearing brawls. Five of them happened in the first month, and it set the tone for them for the rest of the year. If I'm the Mets, and I'm watching the opposing team that beat me in pivotal series, that crushed my postseason dreams and made me feel like crap, and I'm watching this happen, I am playing the rest of the year with a chip on my shoulder. Because if you're the kind of team that goes out there and starts to feel bad about yourself and starts to feel like you got screwed or you're upset because they won and you didn't, you're in the wrong game. It's a long season. You need some anger deep down inside to keep you up and going. And I think it's a great opportunity for them to have some salt in their wound, have that thing burn, and know what you're going to go out there and try and prove. It's a great way to start the season, if you ask me.
Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter. This Baseball Insider was brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, conveniently located at the QEW in Trafalgar Road in Oakville. Interesting comments, man, saying Stroman is the face of the Blue Jays. He's got like 30 starts under his belt.
Wow, and
Batista's been here.
Well, and considering the star power.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's, I mean, that speaks to the type of hype that this kid has.
Absolutely. And, you know, oh, you were talking about going to see Clemens at Yankee Stadium. Dirk is right that when Stroman pitches, you have to see it.
Dude, if you're just walking around Toronto and you're just not knowing what's going on, and it's me and you, and you're like, catch the Jays and might be busy. And if you throw in the Stroman, you're like, might tip you on the other side.
I could find a way to catch that game.
Yeah, I want to go watch it.
Jay Happ, bit of a different story.
Jay Happ, you're like, you know what? TV's at home and so is my couch. Stroman, I want to be in the building.
Right. That's right.
It's obviously a bit of a slam towards Jay Happ, but that's just a fact.
Jay Happ just happens to be a guy. Fine pitcher.
What the hell's his name anyway? Is it J-A?
It's J. It's J-A, but he recently said, dude, it's J. Just call me J.
The letter J?
His name is just capital J, capital A, Hap.
I know, but wanted
to stand for something.
I have no idea what it stands for.
We should put out a poll.
All right.
What does it stand for?
Well, I'm sure there's actually documented.
John Alexander or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to create something on our own. I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Well, somebody could dig it up.
Someone will dig it up.
So it's J.A. Happ. And
it's
not
J.A. Happ, but somehow his name is, it's Jaw.
It's not that complicated. Yeah, it's Jaw Rule.
Yeah, it's Jaw Rule. Happ.
It's Jaw Happ. From now on, he's Jaw Happ on this show.
See, that makes him an interesting man.
Oh, got an interesting handle anyway.
Exactly.
I wouldn't say interesting man.
But he's a fine player.
Simmons wrote that piece yesterday about how Bautista down at spring training, some fan chirped at him, like, if you hit a home run, I'll give you $10. And then he hit a home run and went up to the guy and collected $10.
That's awesome.
And didn't give it back to him and said, all right, thank you, see you later.
Well, the guy's chirping. He deserves that.
So you're cool with that?
Oh, you have issue with him?
No, I don't. I don't. I was wondering how you guys would feel about it.
I take the $10 and I hand it to the bat boy or whoever.
It's like the cocky poker player that wants to play big stakes, and sometimes the guy with all the money, if the pigeon loses, the guy with all the money will say, it's the other way around.
I got you. Yeah.
But sometimes the guy will say, oh, don't worry about it. And the pigeon will be like, yeah, pay up. Like, I want it all.
I'm with you. I mean, just because you're rich doesn't mean you let people welch on bets.
Believe me,
I don't have a problem with that, but I also think
you're
that,
pissed off that he didn't give the $10 back.
Well, no, I don't really care that much.
Because it irritates you.
I think the guy who gave him the $10 could have said, Jose, I was kidding, get the hell out of here. And what was Bautista really going to do about
it? Right.
But I think it's more about Bautista's mentality. Like, he's so cocky and so arrogant, he'd think
he went back looking for it.
I'm going back to look for it, and I'm going to teach this guy a valuable lesson.
Yes, it is a valuable lesson.
But that's how he wouldn't think of it as like, oh, this is going to be funny. And now, like, yeah. Bautista would think this is a life lesson, and thank God he came across me and my home run hitting bat.
Fair.
Because I'm going to teach this guy, don't chirp if you can't follow through.
Well, but he followed through, collected the $10.
He did.
And our homeboy, Kelsey Braid, clarified this. James Alexander Happ.
There you go.
Long-time listener, first-time texter.
J-Hap.
Are you sure? I'm seeing James Anthony.
Yeah, James Anthony.
Kelsey, I hate your guts if you're wrong, you loser. Stop wearing black socks in your Facebook pics.
Yes, please stop, because I'm seeing James Anthony here.
James Anthony Hap.
Mm-hmm.
So it's James Anthony.
I don't know.
This guy's a SportsCenter host,
whatever.
And he butchered it.
Dude, we're calling him Jaw, so who are we to say anything?
We're basically Thought he was Prince there for a second.
We're carving everything up here. All right, Scotty Mac in the final hour. Jeremy Roenick will join us as well. JR is coming on to talk Stamkos, John Scott, Kadri suspension, Patrick Waugh tuning up Matt Duchene.
Yeah. This guy's such an idiot. He texts me now, James Anthony Happ, and he goes, I deleted it, the last one. So thanks a lot, Mr. SportsCenter. You don't even know the pitcher's name.
He knows him as J. Happ.
Exactly.
No one knew it was James Anthony Happ.
Can you block your own employee, like fellow employee?
You can mute.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man, have I muted some TSN people. I have muted.
Well, Joe from the Bridge.
Let's get into that next.
Joe from the Bridge teeters on the mute.
Joe's real close to a mute.
He teeters on the mute.
Real close to a mute. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Scott MacArthur live from Tampa in about 20 minutes. Jeremy Roenick will join us at 6:30. Maple Leafs in action tonight. Blue Jays in action tonight. National title game, NCAA. Masters week. It's snowing outside. I love how the city is actually admitting they weren't prepared for snowfall. Like, I know it's April, but it's Toronto. This isn't Kingston, Jamaica. Like, how can we not be prepared?
I'm of the belief that when the calendar gets to April, I'm done. There's no more snow in my life.
That's fine because you don't have to oversee 6 million people or whatever in the city, right?
You just have to drive down the 401.
Yeah. You're living in a different world than the mayor and everyone down there at City Hall. But anyway, you're on the panel tonight, buddy?
I can't wait. Last game of the year, buddy.
Should be absolutely outstanding.
Black armband on the panel.
Can't wait for it on TSN 4. Panthers Maple Leafs tonight. All right, Noodles, you and me, buddy.
Me and you.
Scotty Mac and JR coming up in the final hour. Also, we're giving away the daily winner for the Vegas giveaway, update on the bar play bracket.
I think there is a Keswick Carl, too.
It's out there on Twitter.
He just started it.
It's out there on Twitter.
What a creep, then.
Final hour up next. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.